Hi, I'm Forrest Christian, and welcome to the Manuscript Company podcast. Today we'll be hearing the second part of my wide-ranging conversation with Luc Hubeka, the noted Belgian management consultant and author of Making Work Systems Better, a book originally released by Wiley and now available as a free download from globalro.org. In this part of my jet-lag-addled talk with him, Luc discusses how eras are has shown a new way of profitable organization design for a multinational business. Based in the Basque region, Irizar is a maker of coaches, high-end, long-range buses. Here's a little more from their website. Irizar's spectacular progress towards business excellence began in 1991 when the company initiated a process which has gradually transformed the organization from a hierarchic, functional-based system built around business areas and departments into self-governed multidisciplinary teams charged with the clear task of ensuring customer loyalty from within their principal processes. What's surprising to most practicing managers and organizational designers is that Irizar makes money making great products with these weird egalitarian ideas. For more information about Irizar, check out their website at irizar.com. That's IRIZAR.com. And now my conversation with Luc. Just another note, this originally was done in his backyard, so there's a lot of background noise, and I never intended to release it. It was made for my own purposes, but I thought you might enjoy it. Here you go.
The normal size of a company is not bigger, maximally 600, 700 people.
Right.
When you say, I have a company of 3,000 people, you are talking about an aggregate. It's very legitimate to talk about an aggregate, but that's an aggregate, you cannot manage an aggregate.
I have a group of...
And I like that you
I set values of the group of companies, is that what you're saying? I mean, so each company is really...
Yeah.
Realistically, it's a group of 800 people, and that's... Or 500 to 800, this is as big as you can know...
Yeah, each other.
Right.
You know the persons. Yeah?
Right.
And once you it becomes anonymous, yeah, it becomes bureaucratic. Yeah. And you start to deal with anonymities, but that's, you don't do work with anonymities. Yeah.
Right, right.
That's where the departments are coming. Yeah. You never shake a hand of an accounting department.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And they don't feel personally involved in what they do to me.
Exactly, except, and that is what is happening in bureaucracies, that the lobbying starts, and I know a guy in the accounting department, and then I get my way.
Yeah, that's the way
it works. That's not the,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Coffee and chocolate work very well in America.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the way it works, in spite of all the theory that why it should work, why it would be impossible to work that way. And I like to give the example of Gore and the Gore text, because it's the same, there are several of these experiences. The guy, Zemmler, Ricardo Zemmler, in Brazil, he did the same thing. Yeah, he had a corporation coming from his father, yeah, a big corporation, and he made it as a network, and no management anymore, and no layers.
Right.
But, for instance, in Irizar, I don't know how it is in Gore, but in Irizar, they are making luxury coaches. That is the mechanical industry.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's mostly you think mechanical industry, tailor and so on. It should be the most regulated. As no, there are 150 teams. Nobody knows how many there are exactly, because each day there are teams who disappear and each day there are teams who appear. They have six basic teams because they have a factory with six products. And that's on level one, and that is also what I write in my book, on level one and two, because it is short term, you need to build in continuity in another way.
So how do you build the continuity?
Well, in having, that are teams which rather fixed number of personnel, that are the production teams. There are six teams of about 50 to 60 people. Yeah.
Right, so the teams...
That's direct labor, yeah. And they are big teams, because all the contributions to make for getting the coach on,
yeah,
are represented there and are there, yeah. Okay? But quite interesting, nobody's obliged to come to a team meeting. But the team still exists, which is very powerful, because each time every person in an organization has to think, if I go, I have work enough.
Yes.
I have to do my work. There is a meeting.
Yes.
It's very well documented what is the agenda of the meeting and so on. You know, the decision that is taken there, there is no delegation upwards for a decision. The decision that is taken there is the only one when we implement it. There's a discussion has place there because the involved people and the ones who know about that decision are present there.
Right.
For instance, when they have to build a new bus,
yeah.
Okay. Each bus is customized, and each customer has special requirements.
Yeah.
The price negotiation, they have no sales department. Price negotiation is in the production team.
Which makes good.
Which makes sense.
Good sense, right. They're the ones who actually know what it costs.
That's, and also the planning and so on is taken up there. If I am trusting that my colleagues and my companions, they know more than I about it, yeah, I say, no, I continue to do my work and I comply with the decision that has been taken there.
Right, right. Okay. Okay.
If I say, no, I see something else and I have some experiences and I think we have to improve that, then I go to the meeting, I made that choice. Yeah. And that's the way it works. And from the moment that the decision has been taken in the team, the budget is free. They have no budgets. They have no... It's a company, yeah, who is, you can look it up, yeah, who's produced, I don't know how some billions per year in turnover. Yeah. They have three persons in finance. Three. Who has... There is no finance, but three specialists, yeah?
Three specialists to assist the...
Who have the knowledge and the competence,
right.
Yeah? One is dealing with suppliers and incoming invoices, yeah? The second one is dealing with outgoing invoices and the collection of money. And the third one is really a financial guy, because they don't know what to do with their money, because they have to need some financial engineering.
Right.
To place their money and so on. Yeah?
Right.
But they have no budgets, they have no accounting, no internal accounting, they are obliged to have a formal accounting. Yeah? You need to...
So,
no cost accounting, nothing. They know the cost, but there's no cost accounting.
Intuitively, budgets are stupid.
Exactly.
But, that's only intuitive. I mean, intuitively, I understand that budgets are stupid because they don't do anything. They're meaningless. You make them up as you go along. You make the budget to fit whatever you want to do. You then fit what you did in order to...
In fact, the function of budget, of budgetary activities in organizations is to create a platform for self-regulation.
Because it's create
a platform for self-regulation. Because people have to meet and to discuss and to do politics and find out and so on.
People actually have to make decisions about where to spend money.
Yeah.
And so they actually have to come together and say, well, we're not going to do this, we're going to do that.
And playing games with one another.
Yeah.
Which is very important as activity.
Right.
But that can be done in a much more efficient way. And that's how they do it in ERISA, because it's not a conflict-free organization. All dilemmas are there.
Right.
And
right.
Choices, if you have to make choices, you know what you lose. Yeah. And there are strong fights going on. There are strong fights going on. But that's part of the deal. And they are not delegated. I see that classical hierarchies, yeah, conflicts are delegated upwards. If I have a problem, it's for the boss.
Right, right.
And the farther the boss is away, the less efficiently he can deal with the problem.
Right.
And that's not in which he calls and I take decisions. Which is nonsense. He doesn't take decisions because he cannot enact them.
But there's something that comes before what Idizar is doing.
Yeah.
There's a culture that is whatever. There's all these value statements, there's a bunch of limits and
that's our results. You don't start with value statements.
No, but I'm saying that there are things that they do. There's ways that they behave that are all common.
Yeah, and
that are communicated in some way.
Okay. There's the guy who, and I don't know the guy of Gore, yeah, but the someone, yeah, took the initiative.
Yes, Gore. Yeah. Gore, his name's Gore.
There it was called the Sarachaga, you know, a very good guy, yeah. And there's a leader. Yeah. And it was the last job in his career, he knew that. Yeah. And the company was nearly broke. We were only at 150 there at the moment. It was very risky. Yeah. But the way he started to work and to come to that kind of normal operations as I describe now, it lasted 7-8 years.
Which isn't very long.
Which is exact, but that's on the value systems level. Because there you have a CEO or a leader who had a project and working and was not in a hurry
right.
to get results. After 3 months they were out of the danger. He did all the things wrong. All what the book said, yeah, that he should do, he did the contrary. And that's why he got out he got out of bankruptcy. Yeah. He augmented the prices, yeah. He got rid of customers, yeah, who, uh-huh. because it was an investment, and many customers, they know they are in difficulty. That's I buy, but I will not. Only when the bus has already given
up.
Returns, yeah.
Yeah.
They were financing their clients, yeah, and they were nearly bankrupt, yeah. But the most important thing that he did, and he has done it in other companies also, yeah, and that's quite interesting on the value systems level. He hired a movie theater, yeah, in the city where his factory was, yeah. And he said everyone is invited and we will discuss one day, all one with another. And I will listen and walk around and listen and listen. Because I don't know anything about buses.
Ah.
And talk, yeah. And all the conflicts come out. And thus his mastery on his level of thinking as a pattern recognizer, he's a strong guy who can recognize pattern in all this what looks as messy and chaotic and so on. Yeah. He said, oh, I know now, having listened to them, where their pride is. Only that, their pride. What are they proud of? And it was proud of one product. One bus model, yeah. See, that is the only model we continue.
And
all the rest we get rid of. Cost, we get rid of. And then, but this model is a model not only for our local market, it's a model for the world. And thus he built on the pride of the people and they became motivated as well. But, very simple, that's in the way of working, and it's related to my article about staff departments. When you start to act in that way, you get rid after 1 year of 30% of the useless staff. Because staff people don't like to be involved.
No, they want to be consultants who don't actually have to look at what happens.
Yeah, okay. And that's those who are, and that's your overhead costs. Falling down immediately,
right.
Because most of this, I know another company who did it in Holland, which is in the concrete business, yeah, making concrete and it's the same phenomena. After 1 year, 30% of the staff was gone, but it was a good riddance.
Exactly.
Because only the guys that you needed stayed because they were interested in the project. Yeah,
they were interested
and
in
not in power. And not in power. They were not interested in power. They were really interested in the work. Yeah.
Right.
But the ones interested in power and making procedures and making all that kind of stuff, yeah, they then go away. Good riddance. Yeah.
So they won the quality award without having the big book of procedures at Interzon.
Should they have?
They won the European Quality Award, but
the
ISO 9001 is always, this large shelf, the ways.
Because
that
on all performance indicators, yeah, they were quite higher than General Electric, even on the financial one, on the motivational one, on the safety one. Everything was
they performed.
Yeah. And they didn't know how it came, yeah. They made a beautiful drawing, which is a nonsensical drawing of the organization, which is a kind of amoeba with all kinds of things, because they were obliged to make one, yeah. But for instance, they have no headcount. They don't know how many people is working there at a certain day. Because you have suppliers on the floor, you have customers on the floor,
right.
You have production people, the production people itself, yeah. in average, a worker is out of the company, yeah, about a fortnight per year. Yeah.
That's right.
He's with customers, yeah, solving issues there, or he's with suppliers, or he's with the other, because they travel much from, there are other factories of the same group, yeah, and the way in which they maintain cohesion is by moving the people. And the workers are moving.
So how many, is this all in Spain, or is this?
No, it's marvelous that, it's much more marvelous than that. It was in Spain originally, only in Spain. Now they are in China, in Shanghai. They got rid of the clock in China. Because the pointing clock, eh?
Yeah.
For workers, yeah, after 6 months.
That must have been quite radical.
Yes, but they played it marvelous because they're very good politicians. Yeah. Yeah. Because in fact, what they are building up, and that is the basic idea of Koldo, and his it's a pity it's only in Spanish. Yeah, but he's writing. I have a book now about his experience. Yeah, and I hope it will come out. But I'm sure it will come out in Spanish, but that it will be translated in English, because it's really a vision about what, in fact, is a vision which is quite ahead of its time. Say, what is a world, yeah, of work if there is no necessity to work?
If you didn't have to do something.
Yeah. If everyone should have an income, and it goes in that direction. Yeah. If every, and made a choice, or it's already now in Europe, yeah, a shortage of good labor. Just that good, and Gore, I know from the Gore-Tex group, and Gore has the same idea. No, we have to attract people. How can we attract people to be involved in that project? How should an organization look?
Yeah, into the organization, because once you get in Gore, they're a little bit better about it now than they were, because I think they understand now that it might help people do better with the company, right? But before it was on 4 or 5 days of interviews, and with a huge number of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if they hire you, welcome aboard, find something to do.
Exactly.
And a little bit better now, they say, well, maybe you can, you know, work with me for a while, and I'll show you.
But the mechanism, the basic mechanism which is there, is how creative platforms for creating trust and self-confidence in the company. Just how do we distribute trust and self-confidence?
Right.
80% of the costs in organizations is based on distrust.
Yes.
And that's why they have this performance. They have an overhead of 18%.
Even though 80% is not necessarily, if they simply got rid of these things, they would still have 20%. Perhaps. Of corruption and waste, whatever the number is. It costs less.
Nothing is perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, but it costs less to have corruption.
Yeah.
To put up with it than it is to weed it out. Yeah. And maybe what's corruption isn't corruption.
Yeah, but let's say the example that you gave of Gore and the way if you start to have relations between people, the social control is much better than whatever external control. Because if I have to rely on you for certain activities and so on, and you start to seek me, and I can talk to you immediately, and there are others there, yeah. I have seen it, I have worked for self-regulating teams in General Motors in Antwerp, yeah. It's tough. It's a tough life, because if you try to see them, you are kicked out immediately. The social control is a very powerful, is the most powerful. All external controls are doomed to fail. That's what's happening in Iraq. Yeah. That's a beautiful example. They can put more and more soldiers and more technology. They will lose, because they have no social texture.
Yeah,
social texture is always strong.
You know, we basically installed a pseudo emperor in MacArthur.
Yeah,
but it all worked, right? I mean, everyone acted Japanese.
Yeah. But
maybe not work great, but better.
But
so what?
Yeah, because I'm talking.
No. Okay, then I have so few points about everything.
I will also take a cookie, then I keep quiet for a moment.
There was you talked about the process structures. And I want to talk about, okay, that's really more interesting to me, but I will talk about self-regulating teams. So the comment, I think, from the some of the editors is, you know, self-regulating teams don't work. It's been shown that they don't work. But your experience is different. Let's ask this question. What do you mean by self-regulating team? Maybe that's the difference.
No. What I say, if something works in an organization, whatever works and gets results is because it's self-organizing already. Yeah? Because...
self-regulating.
Yeah. The example I gave, which is very simple. Yeah. One of the ways of blocking the system is working along the rules.
Yeah? Working for...
But there's a strike. Strike.
Oh, yes.
How does it come that if everyone
work to rule,
the system blocks because the rule is made so that the system doesn't work. Yeah,
right. The rule is stupid.
Right. As Stefan Beef says, the system is what it does, and not what it says it does. Yeah.
Right.
Because all these rules and regulations is made for not working. If something works, it's because people is going beyond these regulations and breaking the rules.
So is that the problem with information technologies?
Well, that's another chapter, but if you break the rules, you can only break the rules if you have a trusting relationship with the people around you. Because you know breaking the rules is being punished if you break the rules. Thus, in a self-organized way, for instance, in the budgeting round, the result is not good budget. That's not what the system does. It's power playing, and feeling what can I achieve and what not, which is, again, a social relation, social texture creating. Yeah? And that's why things are working. The basic organization, I...
to a point, they work.
Yeah, but then how... there is always a risk, But let's just come back. There's many efforts have been done to implement self-regulated teams, which is a contradiction in terms. Instead of discovering the self-regulating mechanisms and to make them proud of what they did, it is again from outside we say that you should be self-regulated. That's a double bind. In my experience, because I did work for self-regulation, I had success with it, learning from bad experiences also, is that at the beginning, because most of the management says, now they have to take up responsibility. If you say people have to take up responsibility and they never took it up, they become anxious as hell.
If I take up responsibility, you're going to hammer me.
Exactly. Because that's the tradition. In ERISA, they never said we will implement self-regulating teams. No, they said they did not make a structural change at the beginning. No, the structure is as it is. Goldo introduced a very simple heuristic. If someone comes to you with a problem, you stop to solve that problem. But you use your power as a manager in a structure. Bring the people together who, in your knowledge, and have the power to do that, have sufficient competence and experience to tackle that problem.
So I'm providing the invitation to a conversation where they solve the problem.
Even using my power to say you should come. Showing leadership there. Because to implement self-regulation, you need strong leadership. That's a paradox. It's their responsibility. And then it becomes hell, because anxiety is rising and it's doomed to fail.
So I accept accountability for that group achieving the result.
Yeah. But then, one step further is, if I see the same people regularly because it is a recurrent issue, and I see that these people is working on this issue and working fine, then I have to, as a manager, to take a decision. Make I a contribution in content, helping them on the work, or is my only contribution to convene them? If my only contribution is to convene them, then I say, it's up to you. You know, you have experience of working with one another. You appoint a leader.
And if when you need to get together, get together.
Get together. And you have a team, because That's a way of formalizing a team. The manager can say, I want to stay with that team because I have a stake in it and I want to be interested. Okay. But then it's not necessarily him who is the leader. There can be an other appointed leader. Yeah.
Right.
But he has a certain contribution because of his knowledge, because of his stake and his interest. Yeah. And that's how slowly, and that's why the last coordinating management team has been eliminated after 8 years.
Because they weren't needed.
Because it was not needed anymore. But it's a slow process, yeah? Yeah. And if you want, there's all the experiences, if you have lots of no consultants, get rid of consultants.
As a consultant,
I have also been a consultant.
Yes, I mean, you make money by... I'm an unsuccessful consultant because I would prefer to get the job done right.
Yeah.
Which means, why do you need me?
Yeah.
Let me help you figure this out, and then, all right, I'm not here to bill. But that's not a successful. Successful consultants are people who will bill a large number of hours and find new work and never tell you how they did it.
I'm consulting project leader in the Dutch Railways. Now it's finished, yeah. Which is an innovation project which lasted 5 years, yeah. I have seen him 5 times.
Wow.
You don't make money out of it. Which is a pleasure. Yeah. It's a pleasure. And you see results.
Yes.
Well, I retired, I have not to pay for it. But you never become rich in that job, yeah. But it's a pleasure of doing it. And in fact, the function of a consultant, yeah. Do you know the model of Stafford B, the viable systems model?
I don't grok Stafford Beer.
Because it's very abstract, but...
Either that or I did get it, and I was making it more complex than it should have been.
Okay. There is a function in which sometimes in an organization or in a work system, the tendency, and that's related to the concept of autopoiesis, is to close itself. And that's dangerous.
Close itself and become a thing unto itself, not interacting with the environment.
Yeah. And that a consultant is in fact someone who, from other experiences, from other environments,
is bringing in chaos.
Is bringing in chaos, and that should be the deal made by with the customer. Yeah. You don't find many. There were not many customers for my consultancy, but they were all good customers.
Yeah, they were all fun to work with.
But if they ask me, can you solve the problem? They say, no, you have not asked me to solve the problem.
Right.
But for instance, what I did in ex-Yugoslavia, saying, you want productivity. You have to become more lazy. They looked at me, what is this guy coming on? And then we had an interesting discussion, because bringing in that other perspective, at least they have not to follow that advice, no. But at once I see, hey, there is an opening. And some of the managers, of the directors who were present say, hey, that's interesting. Can you come? Come. Okay, you have heard my message. How? But it was the same way of working, because they were in turmoil, economically, politically, financially. There was an inflation of more than 1,000%, yeah, because money doesn't mean anything anymore, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And thus, the deal that we made, and what I learned there, is stop thinking in problems. Everything is problematic. Yeah. Everything is problematic. And I say, yes, we are the Balkan. Yes, you say, and that cannot be changed, because these mountains will stay there, yeah.
Right.
But say, how does it come? That each morning workers are coming to your factory, that there is material available, that there are products delivered, that you have even customers and even customers who pay, and you have suppliers who bring material. In these circumstances, if we analyze these mechanisms, and we can develop these mechanisms, then you are on a good way.
Ignore what's wrong.
Exactly.
Concentrate on what's working.
What is life?
Do you mention it here that it's the problem of the looking at the pathologies of the corporation?
Yeah.
Rather than looking at the...
At what is living in. And that's where the model of Stafford is so useful, because it's a model of living systems. Because it helps you, it is an abstract model who helps you to detect where the life of the organization is, in spite of what is said.
So to find out where things are really being done, as opposed to
how does the
real being.
Yeah, the and the only living system in an organization are the people.
Yeah. Right.
No information technology, no machines, and so on. No, the people.
Right.
And if something works, it's because somewhere they find each other, and that's also in my book the unit of an organization. That, in contradiction to what Elliot Jack said, is not the individual. unity in organization is always a work system, and that is a social debt who gives meaning to their being together by doing things together. And these three cannot be split. And not so individual, but social.